Hi, I'm Kim.
I'm Tora.
And welcome to our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. As you can see, we've changed the name of the podcast, and we've also developed a new format. What we're going to do moving forward is to have four topics for each episode, and we will talk about each topic for 15 minutes. We welcome suggestions for topics. Now, everything's wide open. It doesn't have to be restricted to any particular area. So if there's something you'd like to hear us kick it about, suggest it in the comments or shoot us an email at kimandtora@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And we want you all to give us anything you want on your mind that you're thinking of, that you want us to give an opinion of. We cannot wait. We have lots of opinions on a lot of topics. So definitely hit us up. Let us know.
Okay, and I'm going to start the timer in a moment. Our first topic this episode is whether we're less creative, and if so, why? If not, why not?
And the reason why I like this topic a lot is because scientists are saying literally that we are less creative as a whole, as a people. And I don't believe that. I believe it looks like that because everything is at our fingertips. We can just go wherever we want on social media or on the World Wide Web and just find an answer or whatever, or take something. I don't think that. I really think we are very creative. But I think a lot of people are suppressing it because they know it's out there and it can be stolen. Because there's ideas that I have, and I feel like as soon as I put it in my phone or on my computer, the exact detail for detail that I'm thinking of appears in somebody else's life. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? Exactly. Like, there was this thing, I wanted to create a swim cap for Black girls because I love to swim. But I hate getting my hair wet because, you know, it just takes forever for us to get it to, you know, the oils back in. Mm-hmm. Literally, I wrote detail for detail how I wanted this to get started. And I actually wanted us to do it together, you and I, because I know you know how to do the wraps and everything. Yeah, literally, it popped up on my phone. 2 days ago, it popped up on my phone.
You mean the Olympics banning them?
There's a Black girl who created, which I'm very proud of. And so just because her and I shared that same great idea, it popped up on my phone that it was exactly how I had it pictured. I wanted satin on the inside. The outside was silicone, but the edges were silicone. So it would suck to our skin, but our hair would still be, because if you try to put on a regular skin cap on this hair, it doesn't work.
Oh, no, it's not good. You know, we should consider doing it anyway. What I've learned over the years is that there's always room for more. People may like our colors, our styles or whatever better. We may get a higher quality manufacturer.
Absolutely.
So we should really still look into
it. I definitely would love to still do it. I definitely have, you know, all those other inventions the other two that I really want, I'm not putting those anywhere near social media yet because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm just going to go old school and keep writing stuff down. Even though I know we uploaded everything.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea. Just write it down, stay away from social media. So the scientists were saying that because the computer is now putting everything, or our phones are putting everything at our fingertips, that we're less creative.
And it's saying that we're less creative because no matter what you think, everything is being uploaded into us. So everything that you put on these internet bound objects is being sent throughout the world. It gets its idea from just what I said. You have an idea tomorrow, you know, of an earring you want to invent. It has been put in there and it's being sent to this girl because they have a million people who have sites that they go to every day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, just so I'm clear, how is it being uploaded? The phones and we know that the phones and the internet, Facebook, all that stuff are monitoring us. But how is it that is being uploaded into us once we?
Flashes through like advertisement or commercials, anything that flashes your mind. So like, say if you're sitting around and you're hungry, it's almost like an algorithm that knows at 6 o'clock Tora's normally hungry. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw out some Burger King commercials, McDonald's commercials, because that's what she's sent on her DoorDash. You know, she doesn't get Chipotle's. She doesn't get sushi. she does, you know, fast food like Burger King. And so it'll actually flash on my, yeah, if I'm holding my phone, which it knows I'm holding it, or it knows I'm on my computer, it will send flashes of anything, colors, like even the McDonald's red and yellow colors, or it's so intricate. It was amazing to me that I was like, wow, how did we get here? So that's why I felt like we're still creative. It's just that somebody has taken our creativity, honed in on it, molded, and given it back to us, you know. So, you know, there's some people who do not do the internet at all. Like, they don't do cell phones. They still have yellow pages. And they're probably going to be a lot better off than the rest of us, because right now I don't know how to go anywhere without Google or Map or Waze or whatever. Like, I used to know how to read a map. Right when I started knowing how to read a map, this came out. And I don't need to learn anymore.
I can still read a map, but I don't think that I'm as connected to the internet as you are. I don't get those kind of images, ads popping up like that. Sometimes if I say something in conversation to somebody else, then I find that ads for that may come up on Facebook, but like there's no prompting for a time to eat or a thing to eat or a place to go or anything like that. But, you know, I do use the internet. So I'm not saying that I'm not connected at all. I'm not as connected. And I actually don't think that our creativity has been lessened. I think that we're still very creative. Look at everything that people are doing now, that because the internet, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, all those things, at least for those of us who participate on those platforms, have to be very creative in terms of putting out content in order to bring people in. So we're constantly creating content or thinking about content. You know, people are starting businesses now, coming up with new inventions, especially even more so now with COVID, because jobs are closing and people are strapped for money.
And so, not going back to work either.
And they're not going back to work. So I think that we are still quite creative, but that it may not be in the same ways that we were previously. And for some reason, maybe we just don't realize it, or it's not as visible.
I think it's just not as visible. And I also think people are getting smarter to keep their creativity more personable. I don't think they're putting it out there, like, because I think everybody's realizing it now, that if you have a bright idea, if you put it out there in a negative way, which is on the social media, it's only when you're ready to sell it or ready to present it is when it's time. But before then, I think that people are starting to keep things hidden. I can't be the only one that noticed that. Like, I went to Target today and we were getting sunblock, and my niece had one that was like a banana smell. And I literally said that to my daughter. I was like, oh, I wonder which one was the one she had with the banana smell. I have seen 3 commercials since I've come home. Oh, on my phone, 3 commercials. On my TV, 5 commercials, back to back. On television. That's when I was just like, And I know I didn't see any sunblock commercials.
No. I don't watch television all that much. But so they couldn't do that to me, but they could do it on Facebook and they could do it on Instagram. But I don't get Instagrams that are really so targeted towards the things that I'm interested in. They think they are, because they'll show me stuff for crystals and stones and incense and gold jewelry. They show me stuff that they think they're enticing me with, but I just don't happen to be interested in any of that stuff.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, not from Instagram. It's probably because of the kind of content that I put out. But look at all those dances people are creating. That's creative as I don't know what. Yeah. Everybody wants to write a book.
Yes.
I mean, I just think that people are doing things left and right.
A podcast in the middle of the pandemic, like this is something you and I both wanted to do. And I think our creativity is still there. I just think that people just know how to protect it more often.
Yeah. And I think that maybe the markers, many times scientists are looking for trends across the decades. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the kind of creativity that they're looking for is not the kind of creativity we're exhibiting, because as we always say, we're in a digital age now. Right. And so the kind, like the podcast, the YouTube, mm-hmm. we have YouTube channels, both mm-hmm. of us. I mean, we're over here creating ourselves crazy, you know.
Absolutely.
But we're not inventing a new model of a car, or you know, a fan, or you know, those kinds
absolutely.
Of things.
Absolutely. So I was wondering, and that's another thing, because I was wondering when they were saying creative, like about like the future of a car. So we already know cars run on gas and some run on electricity, but are they saying that they're not seeing the future past that? Like, is it running on water now? Like, are we going past? Like, I feel like the bigger
back to the future. I want to see one running off banana peels and
compost, right?
Yeah.
But are we not showing our creativity? Because on social media, it shows you people. I don't know if you see. I think I've sent it to you. Like all the people that really created great things, like the person who created the real vaccine or something like that for COVID.
Black lady. Died.
You know, there was a guy who created a car off of water, died. There was a guy who
they're so busy killing you and taking your invention.
And I was thinking, is that why it looks like we're less creative? Because people are afraid that, oh my God, I have this amazing invention that can help save society, the world, or whatever, but they're gonna kill me, so I just won't put it out there. And like,
that's a really good point, especially if it's something that will undercut the sale of gas, electric, mm-hmm. water, mm-hmm. because there was a young Black boy in Ghana,
I want to say,
that created some kind of car out of wood, and mm-hmm. I don't know what the heck that little boy used. And then people came on IG, Instagram, typing in a comment, protect him,
protect him,
because as soon as you come up with something that's going to stop their profits, they're going to take mm-hmm. you out. Including, like we were saying with Dr. Sabi,
people,
all the naturopaths, they will take you out. So
that's another one. That's another creativity. Like, there's got to be another Dr. Sabi out there. He's younger. He's just as wise. He's even went past what Dr. Sabi could do. But he's afraid. Is he or she afraid? I don't mean to say he. I mean as mankind. I don't always mean sexuality. But right. as mankind. There's another Dr. Sabi has been created. That's just the way the law works of the land, that there's another one out there, but is he suppressing his love for what he does because there was a blueprint that came that didn't end up the way he wanted it to, which is the assassin. We know he was assassinated, you know? So that to me is one of the other things that looks like we're suppressing our creativity.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, I think we're just as creative as ever, and in some ways even more creative. But it's just, number one, like you're saying, they're suppressing it and hiding it. And number two, it's in different ways, so it may not be as visible.
Can you give a shout out to our new spelling bee? I cannot pronounce her name, so I'm not even gonna try it, but she is from Louisiana, and she's our first African-American, and I just was so excited. I literally follow it.
Is she the first? Is she the first Black person to win?
The first young Black lady.
Oh, yes. I saw that she won. Everybody's all great. I mean, you know, all excited about it. Definitely shout out to the young sister. Congratulations. Black excellence, making us proud.
Absolutely. I always tell everyone I entered in the spelling bee, my word was encyclopedia. I spelled it right. And then for some reason during my era, they said, okay, you have to spell it again. And the second time I decided to go off of brain instead of repetition, which is E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A. I should have just said it like that again, but I wanted to actually see if I knew how to spell it.
And that wasn't the time for that.
So whenever the spelling bee comes out, I'm watching it every year and I'm into it. So yeah.
Okay, well, yes, congratulations. So, you know, this is our new format. We're a minute and 58 mm-hmm. seconds left. I think we can move on to topic two, and I'll just set us again for 15 minutes and see where we go. Topic two is, how long has Hollywood known the truth and put it in our faces without us realizing it?
I believe that I was misguided. And I can start with our parents, because they were giving us knowledge as far back as I saw a clipping on TikTok where it was given to us in comedy, but it was with Richard Pryor, and he was saying, oh my God, I found this book. It's all Black people. We did everything. We built the pyramids. We did this. We invented brain surgery. And when he was saying that stuff, it was like I was getting hit in the gut. Like, you knew? How did my parents didn't know? And if they did know, why didn't they repeat what you said? And it was said as a comedy, so it wasn't true. It was so many emotions when I heard how long that truth was right in our face. And I kept thinking, well, we have the internet, so that's how I know. Mm-hmm. What did he have? Who told him? I mean, I know he had a pilgrimage and I know he went back to Africa, but mm-hmm. did they tell him then? And did he try to say, you know, I'll give as many people who awoke back then the knowledge that I know, and I'll give it to him in comedy? Because like we were saying in George Carlin's incident, he was even saying knowledgeable stuff and I was cracking up laughing, mm-hmm. laughing my butt off. Mm-hmm. But when I go back now and look at it, I don't laugh at all. I'm just like,
how did he know? And then as I noted, George Carlin died in 2008.
Yes, he did.
And we're in 2021. That means he was dropping knowledge a couple decades ago, because it was before he died that he started doing that. And the ones that I remember, my mother and I used to find it humorous, but really true, when he would do these whole routines about materialism in America and how we're just buying houses to put more stuff in, stuff that we never use, stuff that we're accumulating. Then we get a storage room to put more stuff in so we can buy more stuff. And it was so funny, but it's also very true.
It's true.
It's very true.
Now, did you know it was truth back then or comedy? I only saw comedy.
We know it was truth about buying containers and mm-hmm. houses and garages. And he called it to store our stuff. Yeah. We knew that was true, but he was saying a lot of other things.
Oh yeah.
When you look back about politics and all that, back then I think most of us had blinders on. I didn't really get it. I mean, like, I got it, but I didn't get it the way we get it now. It was funny. It sounded true, but it wasn't as poignant. Like, mm-hmm. like you said, like that gut punch, like, geez, he knew. All that time, he knew.
I believe he was Jane Elliott then, who Jane Elliott is now, as far as telling us about exactly how the pecking order has been. I feel like he started it. He gave us the knowledge. And if you knew, if you had a little wokeness, you saw it. I had no wokeness. I literally just became woke thanks to social media, the internet. And I shouldn't say that. What I'm saying is, I felt something always inside of me. There was always something about biblically. There was always something about, you know, Egyptians and the heat and white people supposedly been in that heat trying to build these things. It was always something inside of me that had a question mark, but there was no one feeding that question mark for me. There was nobody flowering it, soiling it, you know, watering it. There was no one there. So as time has gone on, I go back and I look at all of these things and they just hit me in the gut. All of the comedies of back then just hit me in the gut. And I'm just like, I was laughing so hard that I failed to acknowledge the facts.
Well, even like Bill Cosby, are you the one who sent me that post from Bill Cosby where they're showing that he's showing the old ancient African artifacts, and then saying, well, Picasso got this from here. Look at this.
Yes.
And, you know, going through all their so-called famous painters and showing that basically they were replicating things that previously have been done in Africa. And he wasn't joking. He was giving a lecture. Like, look at this and look at that.
Bill Cosby was woke.
Bill Cosby has been woke. Yeah.
He literally, when he went through the whole thing, and I just was like, even he's a comedian. So it was like, we can't interview any of them now, probably, and ask, we can't, the ones who's passed away, but now the ones who like Bill Cosby probably would never even speak on that anymore. But it's like, you were awoke, you knew, you tried to give us knowledge, and you knew you had to do it in this athletic form of comedy. How did you expect us to get it when we were buffooned already? You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe we weren't supposed to get it then. This is a special time on the planet. Maybe it was supposed to be out there. And we heard it and it seemed funny. And I mean, it struck a chord, but it didn't get us the way it does now. But maybe he needed to put it out there. So when we did start waking up, mm-hmm. that was there. and we could understand it and we could process it and we could build on it. But it's not just comedy, it's also music. Remember we talked about Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire is on another level. Like, well, they're talking about dimensions. Oh, remember that song, The Fifth Dimension?
Yes.
I can't remember it now, but that was the Age of Aquarius.
Age of Aquarius is
the stuff that you listen to those lyrics, you're like, oh my God, where did you, how do you even know
this? Way know this? Like, who told y'all and who stopped it from getting to us? You know, because I know you knew it. I knew, you know, like I said, Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby and all of them. I knew you, but who stopped?
They didn't stop us.
Did you not
want us? We sang those songs. We laughed at that comedy.
Okay.
We sang those songs. Back then, the lyrics would be on the album jacket.
Okay.
We sang it with, we just didn't understand the significance.
I mean, even like George Clinton, the mothership.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we looked at it like it was getting high, and he's talking about the mothership of smoking and chilling out. No.
He was talking about that, but it had a dual meaning. Yes,
you know
it had a dual meaning.
It had dual meanings. That's what I'm saying. It had dual meanings, and then they didn't take it any further, or whoever was supposed to get the message didn't take it any further, I should say.
Or we don't know that, I mean, you know, maybe it wasn't for us at that time, but there are other people who are way more woke than we've ever been. I mean, not than we've ever been, but that, you know, they're ahead of us. I think I'll get there. I'm on the path, but there are people who are well more advanced. Maybe they were getting it and processing it, and it wasn't for us at that time, because I mean, you know, I just didn't get it, but it's in movies and it's in TV shows too. The reality is they always put out the truth. The question is, are you gonna understand it? Like, apparently Avatar contains some fundamental truths. We know
that's what I said.
The Matrix contains truths.
Who has the fundamental knowledge, but they give it to Hollywood and they tell Hollywood, you can give them this much. Or the Hollywood says, I'm going to give them this much. Who has that knowledge that they don't want us to know? And what would it be so bad if we did know?
Oh, girl, that's a whole can of worms. Okay, with respect to Hollywood, who's feeding it to them? You know, the ruling class.
Okay.
Controls all the media. Like, I did a video on my YouTube channel before I started doing all those Gambian videos, and it was called the mass media.
Okay.
And I broke down how like six companies pretty much own 90% of all the media outlets in this country, perhaps across the globe. But those people are able to feed a certain amount of information. If Time Warner owns 150 TV stations, radio stations, newspapers, whatever, then they feed what they want. They own Columbia Pictures, they own everything. Then they're able to feed that limited amount of information that they're willing to release. Oh, they own Simon & Schuster, they own books. These companies own all of the information pretty much that's being disseminated to us, except for maybe that little 10% that is independent. They put it in books. So, you know, I told you coming up probably from preteens through my mid 30s, I read 4 or 5 novels a week.
Did
That's what I did.
It.
I just read.
How you did it?
There were always suggestions or about, you know, people, about very powerful men, white men in particular, meeting in a room and deciding the fate of the globe. But it was never presented, I don't know, it was factual.
Like the Rothschilds or also the media?
Like the Rothschilds, all of those families, those 6 or 8 bloodlines that are running everything, that all the presidents are related to, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Those people is what the Bilderberg group.
That's
the kind of thing that they were suggesting. But it was real in the context of some fiction novels, because I don't read a lot of, I don't read anything much now, but I didn't read a lot of nonfiction. It was always fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, I know now that it was true. And I remember sometimes I would say, that's what they do. I would say to people, you know, like my mother, what if it really is true?
It's true. I used to say that too. That's so running the world.
Yeah, but it is, but we didn't get it. But we saw it, we discussed it, but we didn't understand, it didn't resonate, the truth of it didn't resonate with us.
That is so crazy, because it's so many like cartoons now that I look at, now that it's on the internet, and they tell me what I saw, and I remember being uncomfortable about something, not just knowing what it was. Now I look back and I'm like, that's why I didn't like Alice in Wonderland. I'd never liked that movie.
I don't care how many times
it was remade or whatever. I tried to watch it because I needed to know. Then when I found out it was about child molestation, I was like, no wonder I always hated that movie.
So, you know, some movies that I didn't watch that apparently are full of truth, The Ring, that whole series about The Ring.
I never got into that, so I'm going to go back and try that. My son used to try to get me to watch it, and I didn't.
Something about The Hobbit, that movie or book or whatever, is supposed to be full of truth. There are a lot of that stuff that I never really paid attention to, but the ones that I did were flashing information right in front of my face, and I understood it, but I didn't process it on a conscious level about this is what's actually going on in our world.
But if you look at it and you say to yourself, like what I did with when they went to Pandora, I always said, what if that was true? And how could somebody's brain conceive that? What knowledge do they have? Because it's easy to be creative and visualize, you know, you can teleport yourself from here to China. That's easy to be creative and think of something like that, but to actually make it look like something. You know what I'm saying?
So that's what I wanted to say too, is that because you asked this question, how do they even get the knowledge to know it? The reality is that the knowledge is from Africa, from the mystery schools in Egypt and all that kind of thing. And as we know, they go over there, they dig up the artifacts, they burn down like the Alexandria Library, they hide the knowledge, they put stuff under the Vatican. These are all the things we've heard. I don't know if they're true, but I do know that a lot of the stuff has been burned down and destroyed and dug up. And, you know, when they dig, first of all, they need to stop. But when they dig something up from Egypt, they scurry it away to Britain, to Great Britain, to here, to there. They don't share that with us. So I personally think, and I think I know some others who think this as well, that they have learned our knowledge, secreted it from us, and then use it to run the world. And it's a lesser form of what the authentic knowledge is, but it's enough feeding off our energy to run the world with it, to feed back a little bit of it to us at a time. But I think that's originally our information, our meaning, Black folks, Kemet, whatever you know, Al-Kebulon, whatever you want to call it. My opinion.
Okay, so I know this is just a tad bit off topic, but I don't know if you saw the killing of the Haitian president.
I did.
And from what I'm hearing, that this was nothing new. Like these things that are happening are planned events. And so not saying Hollywood technically already had this, but I believe I heard that like South Park or one of those cartoons had already even had this, like with the holes in the water and the burning in the seas, like in the Haitian. I heard that one of those, I mean, I don't know. I take everything with a grain of salt, but I was seeing on social media that all these things were already pre-said years ago.
Well, you know, they do that in The Simpsons. The Simpsons is known for that.
Maybe it was The Simpsons. The Simpsons.
They wonder if that creator is time traveling. I mean, people have said all kind of stuff because that cartoon or whatever that is, that I don't watch it, series is known for having truths. And they have one where Disney owned 20th Century Fox. I mean, things that at the time we would be like, come on. And now it's happened and it's real.
Well, I know people who actually said they saw someone just sent me this just the other day, that they saw the oils, or not even oils, there was just something inside the ocean that was on fire. Because no one could understand how it's water on fire. So they said The Simpsons already had that, and they sent me the video. And I'm just thinking, how? And it was all the things dealing with the Haitian president, all of that was like tied in. And I'm just like you said, are they time traveling? Because how can you make it happen just because you
they see show Trump waving like that in the certain escalator, and then in real life, who would have ever thought Trump would be president? You couldn't have convinced us, but the Simpsons knew it all. Okay, that's our 15 minutes. We can always come back next week and do a part two on this, but it's time to move on.
Yes.
To topic number three. And topic number three is the male reaction to the word no. And this is actually kind of serious because my daughter knows a young girl around their ages who a male down south tried to talk to her when she was on her way into the Waffle House, and she rejected his advances, not even in a rude way. She just knows she's not interested, and he kicked her car. See, that was a sign. But she went on into Waffle House, ate her food, came out. When she came out, a young woman walked up to her and said, "What did you say to him?" and pointed to that guy. And she repeated it. "I just said they always have something to say after you say no." And the guy was over there and said, "Hit her, fam, hit her." And this girl hit that young lady who had said no. And then this is the horrible part. Carloads of people jumped out and beat this girl up because she said she refused this guy's advance. She didn't curse him out. She didn't call him out of his name. She just was not interested. And I can't really stop thinking about it because as a woman, it is such a problem. We should be able to say, "I'm not interested," and not be, and you remember back in the day, all you old B and all that, you know, they really have a hard time just understanding that I'm not the one for you. There may be someone else, but this woman right here is not interested. And I just wanted to, it just really troubles me. And I just wanted to explore that topic of males reacting to being turned down when they shoot their shot.
I'm just speaking on Black males because that's all I dated. So I'm speaking on what my experience was. That has been the tale of time. And every time when I was younger and you meet a guy and he say, you know, you have a boyfriend, you say yes. And you say, well, you know, he has a whole line, you know, if y'all not happy, take my number. If he ain't treating you right, call me, whatever, whatever. But then there's this different guy who, if you say you have a boyfriend, he's not trying to hear it. He doesn't care. That's rejection. And he feels some kind of way. And then you try to express that to your spouse or your boyfriend, and you telling him, like, "You don't understand. I took the number," or because if you say no to these guys, they zap out on. It's been the tale of all. And there's good men who just don't believe that. I guess their friends didn't show them that side. They're not that side. But that has been the tale for so long. That is, I've never not heard that story. I know that story so well in my own, I've had a gun pulled on me. Like, there was a guy who literally, and that's kind of how my husband and I met, because I gave him the wrong number. So he rechecked. It was like, "I'm sorry, I tried to call you, but the number didn't work." And I said, "Oh, that's my dyslexia." I said, because I would always flip the last two numbers so I could tell a guy that, "Oh, no, that's my number, call me." You know, that's my, "Oh no, you know what? I flipped the last two numbers. I'm dyslexic." You know what I'm saying? So the guy would flip them, call me, my phone would ring in front of him, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, my so-and-so, yeah, I know about that dyslexic stuff. Y'all be flipping numbers and stuff. That would be my go-to thing just in case, because I didn't want to give you my number, but I was afraid not to, because like I said, I had a gun pulled on me. There was a guy who had a gun in the front of his jeans, under his shirt. I gave him the wrong number. He came back with the gun, flipped out of his pants pocket, like, so I could see it, and was like, "Yo, you gave me the wrong number." I was like, "I did?" I was like, "Oh my God, I just got a new phone number. Give me here. This is my," he's like, you sure? I said, "No, seriously, if you call the old number, I guarantee you they'll tell you." And that was my other line that I used to have. I used to give people my old number, so if they did call, the person who answered me, like, "Yeah, people call you asking for Torah all the time." So just to get me out of dead situations. But I've had that happen to me. And I remember going, "Thank you." So he literally called the old number in front of me. And there was this nice Caucasian guy who answered. And I say nice because he could have easily been like, "No, no." But he was like, "Yeah, I'm just saying, did this used to be a girl named Tora number? Because I'm calling. And he's like, yeah, a lot of people have been calling, asking for her and her sister. And it was so funny because I would tell people my name was my sister name, which is Torsha. Just to get me, I mean, I'd be all in the clear if I had somebody had to call my phone. Like a guy call my phone, be like, hello, may I speak to Torsha? Be like, no, she's not here right now. Okay. So my boyfriend would be like, who's that? I'm like, some guy. And I had to tell him the story. I had to give him my sister's name to let, you know, that's my cue that he's a crazy person. But
that's hard. I had to
give him my real number. It, for women, it is dead hard.
It's horrible. And you know what? You just brought up something that I totally forgot about. When I was in undergraduate school, there was a law student, a black guy at the University of Wisconsin, who was obsessed. And I remember this now. He was coming over to, I shared this apartment, like we had our own bedroom and a kitchen, whatever, like a suite. Mm-hmm. And I shared a suite just slightly off campus. He was coming over, banging on my door. I was afraid. I remember being afraid of him and talking to a guy that I was dating about it at mm-hmm. the time, who I think went and checked him or whatever. But I forgot about that. About, you know, that happening to me. And I'm sure there are probably some other instances too that I just don't remember, because men can be really
obsessive.
Yeah, just like psycho.
Abusive. When and you obsessive. Said
abusive and mm-hmm. psycho, I remember clearly when we would be walking down the street, we learned to say, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And they say, what's up, shawty? Yep. That's a DC thing, or you know.
You ain't gonna speak? Yeah. Like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was daydreaming. I didn't even hear you. I'm sorry. Hi, how you doing?
It's like, it goes into a total tirade. So we learn to say, how you doing? And like, keep it moving. Yeah. How you doing? Keep it moving. You just got keep it moving, but you have to speak, because if you don't, you could be every B and whatever in the book.
And I want to know, why is it? And I, like I said, there could be other races. There could be other people. I didn't have that experience with other races. I only had it with my black males. But I know that, of course, none of my siblings, my son isn't like that at all. But what I want to know is, who raises those guys? Who raises mm-hmm. those guys to feel like rejection has got to be so detrimental to your ego? It's like, there's so many reasons. Some girls just awkward and they just don't want to talk to guys. You know, when I say awkward, like they just don't feel comfortable. So if you get rejected by a female, I shouldn't even say rejected. If you get told you're not trying to talk to a female's not trying to talk to you, why are you taking it as rejection on your part? It could be just rejection on her part.
It could just be lack of chemistry. We get to like who we like. Yeah. And not like who we don't like. And just because you approach us doesn't mean that we have to date you, marry you, have kids by you, and run off in the sunset. Now, we need to be respectful mm-hmm. in how we say no thank you. Or
absolutely.
We all have made of that. I have a man. I've worn daggone fake wedding ring to the club so that I can just dance and be left alone sometimes.
We all did the same thing. We would say, we're going out, we put on our fake rings, be like, no, my husband's coming. Yep.
Yeah, and the thing that I was thinking about when you said them calling the number, now they do that on the cell phone. You give them that number, they call you, it needs to be ringing in your purse. I'm sick of all that. I just say no. Like in Africa, there came a point when I started saying, I'm not giving out my number anymore. I made a decision that I wasn't giving out my number anymore. Now, I have to say, in that particular country, nobody gave me any harsh reaction. But in this country right here, the U.S. of good old A,
I've definitely been called the B word or two out in public mm-hmm. by some guy who I said, you know, I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend. And then I go, I mean, it becomes demeaning to me. Like, you know, you can't get a man. You know, you don't have no
man. Oh, wow, they're going for the jugular, huh?
Oh, they would just beat me down after that. And I used to be like, oh my God, it's not that serious. No, I really do. And there was a period, it was a short period, but it was a period where I just wanted to be single. And that short period of time was the worst time of my, I actually sit there and think of that. That was the worst time of my entire life, trying to just be single. And I know that sounds braggadocious, because I know there's, I see.
No, that's how it is. That if you have, we're attractive women. If you're attractive, you know, you're going to get that. I mean, I remember having a whole name, Jacqueline, And so they would say, like, what's your Jacqueline? So whenever I was out with my girls and we hear somebody calling Jacqueline, I knew it was me.
Yep.
And it was somebody that I didn't want to talk to. You know, I would turn around or whatever, because I know I used to tell people my name was Jacqueline.
I was Diamond. I was Diamond. That was my street name. So my friends would all know, you know what I'm saying? It's funny how we all had, all our sisters share the same MO for like trying to be deterrent when you just want to hang out with your friends, you just want to
have a good time. Or you just don't like them. I mean, that's the thing that I think really needs to be stated. You don't have to like everybody who approaches you the same way. Sometimes we like a certain man, be like, I wish he would come up. And they don't, because they just don't like us. I mean, everybody doesn't like everybody.
And nowadays, I wouldn't even know how to date, because the game is so polluted. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's guys who try to get with you who like other guys too. And it's like, I was just looking at that on social media now. And I feel like the guy was saying that that's borderline, because remember the last podcast we were doing, how the guy went into the lady spa and claimed that he identified with being a woman, but he still had his private parts and it was exposing itself. So my thing is this, when you have the dating pool is like that, it's like, I feel like that is borderline, you know, rape.
That's a bigger problem.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a problem of huger proportions. And you got to rely on your instinct and everything in you to make sure, because that kind of thing.
But now as women, we can get equally as mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can get equally as mad that these guys are posing as men in our definition of a man.
You talking about down low men?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's like, we need to have a discussion to make that a topic, because that's a whole nother topic. You know, I mean, it impacts people.
How do we just eliminate that from the jump? You know, how do we tell, you meet a guy and you say right up front, you know, hey, are you straight? Like, do you only mess with, like, can you imagine what we used to go through telling them no? Telling them, no, we don't want to date you. And now we got to add another layer onto that, going, well, if I do give you my number, are you all about women? Because I'm not
interested. I don't think you can ask anybody that. But you know what? It occurs to me, there was a whole hip hop song about it. And you say, I got a man. What your man got to do with me? I got a man. I'm not trying to hear that. And we all sang it. It's a cute little song, but there's a darker meaning. Yeah, because they weren't trying to hear that.
Yep.
Maybe. I don't know about the down low piece. I feel like that's a whole nother level of something, and it has gotten more and more prominent over the years. It's really, I mean, I have a little bit of a radar. I have some people who have tried to talk to me, and I have said to a girlfriend or two, he's too effeminate for me. It might be the way he speaks, the way he moves the hand, something he says, and my everything just starts blinking, and I'm like, nah, can't do it. I don't even care if I'm wrong, because there are some straight men who raised by, you know, a lot of them are raised by women, and they may have some little mannerism.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna lose me every time, because as soon as I see any of that, I'm out.
You couldn't get any harder than Tupac, but if you look at some of his interviews and pictures, he's very comfortable with being feminine. He'll tell you, it's because I was raised by my mother and sister. You know, I picked up on a lot of their ways, but...
And with those long eyelashes he had, too.
You being beautiful and being feminine, it's like, I know he got hit on. Mm-hmm. I know he got hit on from both spectrums.
All right, so we're doing pretty well. We have a minute and 44 seconds left for that topic. So I guess we can move on to our final topic, which is Black TikTok. There's a lot going on with Black
TikTok. I'm proud of it. If it gets up and running the way regular TikTok works, I'm gonna be a big fan, because of the simple fact that I'm a creator on TikTok, and my children are creators on TikTok, and I see the injustice.
That's,
I don't see the racism as much, and the reason why I don't see the racism as much, because I broke this down in when my children were in gymnastics, when people would actually come up to me and say, why is this happening to you and your family? And I said, because we're not the masses. We're one of many. We're one of a lesser many, because you have 30 white women who pay the same amount that I pay, And here I am, this one Black woman who has a problem with the way things are going. Who do you think you're going to cater to? The 30 white women that are paying your bills, keeping your lights on, putting food on your table, or this one Black woman who is being targeted and being, you know, scrutinized, and her family's being treated like this? Like, it doesn't work like that. So I know TikTok are saying these white girls are paying our bills. These white girls is putting these mansions in. No, I know that's the nature. I know that's the nature of the sick business. I know, because the white girls are getting the content from the Black people. Right. And if the Black people were supporting, and the white people were supporting the Black people the way they support the white people, then they would definitely give it to us. But they're not. It's not a whole conglomerate. So they're not going to support us. They're not.
I never saw it that way. I never saw it. So I've been seeing a lot of Black people come on TikTok complaining. Now, obviously, we know about them culturally appropriating the dances that were created by Black choreographers and going on Jimmy Kimmel and all of that. But that is, to me, an inherent part of white supremacy, because if you're going to feature somebody who did a dance, you know daggone well that little skinny girl half doing it, not even correct, did not create it. If you're going to reach out and bring somebody on your show, why don't you bring a Black TikToker? There are people like you with more than a million likes. We know who those people are. They know who they, that's part of racism. So I'm going to overlook the Black person who created it and pick a little lily white person to bring on my TV show, because that's racist. Because
that is the person who is going to bring the audience. It's sick. It's sick. Don't get me wrong. I'm not okay in it. But okay, so we Black people love chicken. You can say whatever you want, but we love it.
Most of
you can open a chicken spot, and next door can be an Asian company that sells chicken. You could not going to tell me that we're going to support the Black community, and the white community is going to support that Black chicken spot and not complain and not say they can get more chicken from the Asian spot, because the whole business is corrupt. What I'm saying is the Asian people can get the chicken for cheaper. The Asian people can give you more for your money. The Black people are not going to be able to get the prices that they get it for. So they have to charge more, and the quality has to be. So it's a whole line that we have to support. Now, back in the Green Book days, we supported that line. You know, you only shop from where you were, you know, your own people, because you had to keep the businesses going. Now we are so spoiled in reality. Well, it's not really reality, but we're spoiled in whatever this thing is, that we don't support our own. So if we as Black people know, right, that this Black girl created this beautiful dance, we all are doing it. We all know she did it because we got it from her. Didn't we? Oh no, you knew she did it because there was a smart white girl out there who knew this girl was talented. You didn't see her yet, but this white girl knew. So she took the dance, she put it on her million-dollar platform, major, huge platform that was given to her by her white people. So it took off. Now Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, everybody's looking at this girl do this dance, but is it up to her to say, hey guys, I stole it from her. So I stole it from her, or I borrowed it from her. And she also deserves accolades too, because I think that's how it should be. Because I feel like if we as Black people took something, they would sue us for copyright infringement off the break. They would definitely sue us for that. They would be like, hold on, that's my dance, that's my song, that's my lyrics, that's my tune, I'm coming to get my money. They would definitely do that. But I feel like as Black people, we don't put forth the effort and the fight to fight for what's ours. I don't think that a lot of Black people got together and said, okay, they did go on a hiatus where they stopped doing their dances and stopped being creative for a little while, but then they got right back to business as usual. And it's like, no, you can't do that.
So are the white people still appropriating the dances?
Are they inappropriating the dances?
Are they still taking over the dances and doing
They were, as soon as the black people started back their dances and creativity,
I think, like with your chicken example, that it's a little different on TikTok, because on TikTok, all you have to do is create and put it on the platform. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy any raw materials. You don't have to sell a certain amount of product. You don't have to price anything. you know, in a brick and mortar business, what you said makes sense. And we hear those kinds of arguments a lot. Mm-hmm. They don't want to buy from the Black restaurant because they don't have the same prices, or the Black mm-hmm. beauty supply, or what have you, even though people like me are going to pay a little extra just to support Black. Absolutely. But I get that a lot of people are not. But when it comes to TikTok, all we have to do is watch a one minute video and click like, and maybe give a comment. There's there's no product.
On a business standpoint, there's an algorithm. So if I'm watching TikTok and I stay longer than 2 seconds, that algorithm told you, me, and whoever else that needs to know this, I spent 2 seconds longer on this video. So that I keep that in the pile. Then the next video, I spend 5 seconds longer watching it. So that one goes in the pile. But the one I just say, not interested, keep going, scroll, they don't get put in. So
That's the white videos for me. I know that I'm not typical. I scroll through, I don't want to see that crap. There are a few white people that I really like mm-hmm. who are really mm-hmm. dropping knowledge mm-hmm. and I will watch them. But all that other old crap, and there's some Black TikTokers now who are on there saying mm-hmm. this platform is running off of our energy. How many times, mm-hmm. and they say, look at these white people's accounts and see where they come on and pick up something from a Black person and comment on it, sometimes negatively, just mm-hmm. to generate controversy and to generate views.
And
they say, look at their account before they yeah. picked up our content mm-hmm. and look at it after, and we have made them. And they're like, stop going on there responding. Let them say whatever they want and let it lie right there and die.
But that is true.
Platforms.
I've had Black people and I've had white people try to cancel my platform.
What you mean try to cancel?
Oh, they report it and then my content will get taken down and then I have to appeal it. And there was a lot of people doing that to me, and for no reason. Like it was crazy. But TikTok also looks through your content and they see if you violated or you didn't violate. So there's a lot of Black people who have said they've been in TikTok prison, is what they call it, because their content is frozen. They can't create, they can't make money off of it. And there's a lot of Black people saying that their videos are getting reported. So when we do try to make it and we are coming up the ladder, there's a person out there or people out there that are hating so hard that they mess us up.
And not only that, though, it's the platform itself. Now, we've got to know that this platform was created in China. Mm-hmm. We've got to know. I certainly know that Asians don't like us. Asians don't love us. We can pretend all we want. They really don't like us. And so now there are Black TikTokers going on there saying, look, I type Black man. It says,
oh, violence. Yeah, you saw that?
All those, everything to do with Black Ebony, whatever, with our culture, they say a violation, but they can say all other kind of stuff and it's perfectly fine. So I think it's a combination of things. I've seen Black TikTokers now saying that their likes disappear. What's going on with TikTok today? They're pulling off likes. So they've had likes on the page that go.
Yeah, I think that happened to me a couple of times too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole lot of things.
I started writing down my number at one time because I was thinking, was I going crazy or did I have like 1,000 more yesterday? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's people who de-like or the system that's, I don't know. I don't know how it's run, but I do believe that if we do have a Black TikTok, if every single Black person who's on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat support it can go through the roof. We could change the world with it. But if we're going to be like, oh, it's lame, I got stuck, I couldn't get on, they get it. If we start complaining and doing what we know we do, this is called the what goes on in our house, stay in our house conversation, because we know we do it. So let's not even try to pretend, you know. We talk that talk. We say we want better, we say we want our own, but then as soon as somebody sets it up and gets it, we complain and we don't try to give time for perfection. And I do... I'm a problematic person. I agree. I've done the same thing. I tried to support a Black bank one time and there was no place to deposit the money, withdraw the money. It was so stressful. And I was like, y'all, I've tried, but you're not helping me. You're not saying, okay, well, you can go here. Because when I would go to places where they told me I could deposit the money, people were like, we're not affiliated with that bank. I'm like, but I had the letter right here. Can I call them while we're right here? They're saying that you're on their list. And it was so, I mean, literally, I had deposited about probably like $2,000 into this Black bank that only had like, I think it was California and one other place. And I typed them a nice little letter and let them know. I said, listen, I tried. I couldn't get my money out. I couldn't put the money in. I couldn't do anything. And I transferred. Everything was on a transfer.
But nowadays, that wouldn't be a problem. You can get the money out. You can use your debit card. So, you know,
well, what I'm saying is the transfer took 3 days. So say if I needed the money, if I was just anywhere, I was at a casino and I wanted to pull my money out right then and there, I couldn't do it. I had to wait 3 days.
But there was an internet bank thing called ING or something that ING, I had an account with that. You had to plan ahead too. You know, it's like we have a different standard for Black businesses because a lot of people did ING. You don't remember them?
No, I heard of that bank, I believe, orange. With the one with the lion, I believe. I heard of it.
I don't have it anymore.
I remember
we all did that. They claimed to give us higher interest and all that. So we can do it for those, but we can't do it for our own. But there's a social media app called Our Black Truth that they were saying was going to be the new Black TikTok. I did download it. I'm not going to lie. I haven't gone on it. But as you know, I don't do a whole bunch. I go on there when I go on there. But
if they show me, somebody shows me how to get on this or where it is, what's the name?
It's on the App Store. It's on the App Store, Our Black Truth. And then people were coming on. I'm trying to think. People were coming on.
Well, maybe we can advertise it. I mean, I don't know if they appreciate it or not, but maybe we can just drop some knowledge to them and tell them that there's a new TikTok called or there's a new like TikTok or Twitter called, because I know nothing about it. I've heard about it. I've heard that there are celebrities in the making and trying to get this thing off. And I would love for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know we have so many apps out there that they don't even tell us that they're Black because they want to keep generating the money. And that's another sad thing, that a lot of Black people don't even want to tell you something is Black owned. Like the most, I just want to kick this real quick. The most famous BMW that was ever created was created by a Black man. I mean, it is the most creative, beautiful, everybody wanted it. And then as soon as they found out it was a Black man who created it, they got rid of him and they changed the look a little bit and they got another creator.
That's because these people are racist. Everything, not everything, but most of the things you're talking about come back down to their racist, because it doesn't have to do with the quality of the product. The quality of the dance, the way the dancer dances it, is obviously better if you're Black. So the only reason they're not supporting it is because it's a Black person. Mm-hmm. The quality of the BMW, the look, design, and feel of it obviously was superior. And when they didn't know it was Black created, they supported it. That's racism to go around and say, oh, I don't want that now. An N-word did this? Oh, H, no. Come on now. So, I mean, that's not an answer to anything. It's just an observation, but I agree with you.
No,
we've got to learn to support our own. We just...
Are we willing to do that? Are
I am.
We willing I do. To say my hero, who I love, Kamala Harris, very much.
I heard her say,
I would be messed up to say I have a Black agenda. I'm only doing stuff specifically.
Yeah, I don't fool with her. Anytime anybody says something like that, I have nothing to do with them. I have nothing for her at all.
And so do you think that's words, or do you think that's the way somebody heart? Because I
don't think she said what she meant. And I did a post on the Biden-Harris. I did a video on the Biden-Harris delusion or something like that, I called it. And I showed a clip of her saying, am I going to do anything specifically for Black people? No. Okay, no, I'm done with her. I was done with her then. I don't want anything to do with her.
So,
anybody who can't support us, I can't support them, because the only way we're going to win is to unify.
Okay, so my thing is this, how is it not support if you just want to live to survive another day to fight? And we all read I shouldn't say we all read it, but The Art of War. And
we are at war. We're at war.
And in the book, The Art of War, he says, learn to live to fight another day. So my thing is, if we show everyone our hand as soon as we get there, how can we
No, ma'am.
Competing.
No, ma'am. Kamala Harris was elected in part because she's a Black woman. To be elected because you're a Black woman and then come out of your mouth and say you don't want to do anything for Black people, you just want to live and all that, you're a fraud. You personally can live to survive another day if that's what you wish to do. But we didn't all put you in office because you're a Black woman. When we put you in office because you're a Black woman, all those Black people, Black women wearing pearls and Converses and all that crap, and then you disavow any connection to us or any affiliation, I'm done with her. She's
Why can't we mental telepathy believe in our minds and heart, like she's looking at us with a wink and a nod? Like,
no, ma'am, you don't need a wink and a nod.
Still,
we need to say what
you run by the world who blew Kennedy's head off. We still run by that world. That world is still existed. So y'all, I gotta say and do what you gotta do, but trust me, I'm behind y'all back making moves. How come we can't say that?
Because number one, she's not behind our back making moves. She approved, she participated in the Asian hate crime bill, the LGBT, all that stuff. She's not done anything for us. What has she done behind our backs? Not a daggone thing. She's not doing anything. And it's a brand new world in 2021. We gotta pick it up next time. My timer went off like 2 minutes ago, but we need people to say what they mean and mean what they say. And if you don't, we don't need you. We can just have a white woman in there who's not afraid to say, I'm going to help my Black sisters. I don't need you if you're not going to work on our behalf. That's why we put you there. Don't do it behind the scenes because you're not gonna. And we need, as we know, images and words matter. They shape our perception of ourselves and each other. So I can't buy any of that. I'm dumb. I've been done with her.
So you don't buy the poker face?
I don't want the poker face. If you're going to be for us. If you're not, then don't. Don't try to pretend you're not and then do, or pretend you are and then don't. Be who you say you are. But we got to stop. We can pick this up or not, because that's interesting. We can, you know, depending, I'm sure we'll have some more topics, but we can circle back around if we want to. Are there any, what do you think about this new format that we tried today? How did it work for you?
I love it. Very smooth, got our points across, and got a lot of topics in that we were able to complete our thoughts. So I love it.
Okay, great. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. We, as always, thank everyone for joining us. We really appreciate the fact that you're supporting us and participating in our podcast, and we can't wait to see you again next time.
Yes, like, follow, subscribe, everything. We need you all to support us because we are going to support you.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Thank you.